All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this service today. We appreciate the visitors and the members alike. So we'll start our song service. Everybody grab what we call the Yellow Book, Songs to Remember, number 6. And we appreciate Miss Carolyn attending to the piano this morning, and we hope you get a blessing from today's service. Let's be prayerful for it. Let's start with number 33. I know I'm saved. Number 33. Good. Let's turn over a few pages to number 40. He touched me.
Thank you.
Good.
Brother Sam. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out this morning. We are a little short this morning. I know the Do-Re-Mi singing group is singing at a homecoming today, and that was going to be during our church time, and so they had to be there early, so we're missing quite a few people because of that, I'm guessing, and I realize they're still even though school is going back, maybe there's still some people traveling, but we are glad that each and every one of you have made an effort to come out to the house of the Lord today. Let's pray that the Lord will come in, be with us today, and that we will be blessed in a very great way is what we want you to do. We had a good Sunday school class this morning here with the adult class, and I hope all the other classes was well, was a good class too. And I hope you were able to learn a little bit more about God and His ways. And that's what I want to encourage. The ones that do not come out for Sunday school, I want to encourage you to come out for Sunday school. Make sure that you bring your kids into the house of the Lord that they can learn about Jesus, learn about God, and learn about His church. And that's the purpose of Sunday school. And you might think, well, they'll get that from the preaching. In this world today, they need every good point that they can get. When you have the world like it is right now, they need everything about Jesus that they can possibly get. So bring your kids to church. Bring them to Sunday school. And just try your best to make sure they get educated about God. Because if they do not get that, they are going to miss out on some of the greatest blessings in the world. And who knows, they might even miss out on the blessing of salvation. And Lord help, we don't want that, do we? So we want them to learn about Jesus and about God. This morning we are glad to see each and every one out. As I said, we're glad to have our visitors with us today. We appreciate your coming to be with us, and I hope that you get blessed today in our service. We're going to go on about our service today. Brother Sam's got a children's church for everybody. So, Brother Sam, if you would.
All right. We'll do it right over here. Come in peace. I mean you no harm. All right, looking good, looking good. Good to see everyone that's here. Everyone. You get a tardy, you were late. I'm just kidding. You were great. Good to see everybody. Y'all doing all right? Everybody doing good? No? Yes? Not really? There's a bottle of stuff I need to get from right beside you right there. You're just messing up my props here. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. How you doing, buddy? How are you? Everybody seen some of this? What is that? Sanitizer. What's it for? Your hands. All right. Your hands may look clean, but this gives it an extra measure of clean, right? You might have a bath this morning. Yesterday? You did? Okay, good. Why did you take a bath? To clean yourself. You get the star. Thank you. I appreciate you speaking up. We have to wash ourselves, right? We have to make ourselves look clean because, you know, we don't want to, you know, have dirt on us and we want to look pleasant all the time. We do that. And there's a purpose for that. We clean ourselves so our outsides are good. You know, there were some people that were around Jesus one time. They're called Pharisees. Have you ever heard Pharisees? You haven't? Well, say the word Pharisee. Pharisee. There were people that wanted to look good to other people. You know, they wanted to make themselves look, you know, very religious and very clean, like they were always, you know, important and they were above dirt and sin. They wanted to look that way, you know. And they told him one time, Jesus, they said, you know, why don't your apostles, why don't they wash their hands when they eat, you know? And Jesus understood why he asked them that, because they were very caught on tradition. okay? They were very caught up on the fact that, hey, you know, Moses said to wash your hands before you eat because, you know, you'll get your food dirty and it'll go inside you and make you sick, make you bad. But Jesus understood that. He said, you know, guys, it's not what always goes in your mouth that makes you bad and sick. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you look bad. And what comes out of our mouth? It's speech. It's thoughts. It's things that, you know, give a sign of what's in our heart. These people, Pharisees, Jesus said, you know, y'all honor God, y'all speak God, and y'all worship God. He said, but your heart is far from them. He said, you make clean the outside, but inside you're just as dead as anything. So he was talking about the difference between being clean outside and clean inside. They had a double standard. They wanted to look good to man, but they were nowhere near looking good to God. There's a guy named James. Say James. James. That's my first name. Y'all know my name is James? You know? He said, draw nigh to God, which means come close to God. And you know what he'll do? He said, and he'll draw nigh to you. But he also said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we need to be clean. Take your bath, you know. Did you wash your hair this morning? Did you? Well, good. What kind of hair product do you use, you know? I wish I had hair like you. I wish I had hair, you know. Continue to wash yourselves. But let's make sure that we appoint ourselves to be pure inwardly, okay? Stand up and repeat that verse after me. Say what I say, okay? Draw nigh to God. Say it again like you mean it. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Go take a bath.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate the good lesson. The idea is you try to get down to the children's level and that they can understand some of the teachings of the Bible, and Brother Sam did a good job with that this morning. We appreciate each and every one being here. We want to go to the Lord in prayer as our next part we'll try to do this morning. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? We had several prayer requests this morning in our Sunday school classes. Please remember them. You may not know what those prayer requests were, but God does. And so just remember what was said in our Sunday school classes. There's a lot of our churches that are going are needing prayers, and I will mention the revival at Old Paths over here in Smyrna. Their revival is in progress this week, and just remember them as they go through tonight in revival. Just pray that the Lord would save somebody there. They're small in number, and what I'm going to say is that Paul and I are planning on going tonight, so if you would like to go over there, we'll get the address from Paula is the best way to say it, and if somebody needs a ride, we can probably help you out, a few people anyway, to go with us, so keep that in mind. But be prayerful for that revival meeting tonight. Does anybody else have another prayer request? Lord, help. Lord, help. Lord, help. Let's do remember this in our prayers also. Somebody else. Mm-hmm. Oh, did he? Lord help, let's do remember Rowan in our prayers then. Did not know about that, so let's remember him in our prayers. Somebody else? Go ahead, Miss Nettie. Yeah. Listen to Miss Nettie talk about Mr. Bob this morning, and let's do remember him. Probably going to have surgery this week, so let's remember him in our prayers. Somebody else?
Maybe because they're at a church that's different, maybe they'll come
Yeah, ones that are lost, yes. Let's do remember them. Somebody else. Appreciate each and every one being here today, and I appreciate everything that's already been done for our services. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Rodney, if you would you start our prayer, please?
When I've traveled my last mile, a good old song, 199. To sing a song now that's got some parts and alto in particular in the chorus, and I believe there's enough of that contingent here. Let's give a stab at number 220, first and last verse. I'll meet you in the morning. 220.
Thank you.
heard that song all my life, and it never gets old. And it's all made possible because of the concept that's told in number 88 that we'll sing now. My God is real. The world wants to put him in a box. The world wants to dismiss him. But every eye shall see him. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue's going to confess. They won't have to be looking at each other saying, who is that coming there? They're going to go. My God is real, number 88.
Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for playing for us today. Appreciate Brother Sam leading the singing also this morning. I do hope and pray that everyone has enjoyed the singing thus far. I was looking around and I made mention that we were down quite a bit today, and I think I counted four families that's out today, either because of taking trips or going on vacation, being out for Do-Re-Mi, so let's continue to remember them and pray that the Lord will bless them today wherever they may be. We are glad to see each and every one of you here today. I just want everybody to be prayerful for this service. Pray for me. If Lord's will that I preach, it'll be coming from 2 Kings in the 6th chapter, if you want to turn there already. I ask that you pray for me, that the Lord would help me to do what I need to do today. And last week I encouraged everybody to pick up one of these cards, or some of these cards that are out there on the table. I said, just invite somebody to come to church. And that's, we made it easy. Brother Tom came up with this card after somebody requested it. And it says, you are invited to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church It has the address or service times. All you've got to do is just say you're invited and hand them the card. You don't have to give them all the details, but it is a good thing for us to do. And just pick up one today. The other day I said five. I said just try to hand out at least one this week is what I would ask you to do. So try to do that this week. Try to invite somebody to come. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart? We had one to join the church last week. We're thankful for that. And we want to thank God for that. We'll be setting that baptizing. We've kind of got a tentative date, but we want to talk a little bit more about that. And we'll let you know when that's going to be in the near future. So we'll be... Go right ahead, Miss Barbara. Bless your heart. Bless your heart, Miss Barbara. Appreciate you. Amen. Bless you, Miss Barbara. We are glad that you found us. And we want everybody to follow the Lord today. Anybody got another word on your heart? Word of testimony or anything? Yes, ma'am. Bless you, Miss Sandy. Appreciate this. We're glad Brother Dave is getting better. Somebody else. We don't believe in following a pattern. We just try to follow the Lord. Somebody else. I appreciate these two testimonies today. And it shows God's goodness on us. And we ought to always be willing to praise Him for what He's done for us. Whether it's finding a place to worship or whether it's being able to be healed a little bit or having strength, whatever it might be, that's what we need to be doing. Anybody else got anything on your heart? Appreciate everybody being here today. And as I said, I'll be taking my reading lesson from the book of 2 Kings in the 6th chapter. 2 Kings in the 6th chapter. In this 6th chapter, it's talking mainly about Elisha the prophet. Brother Stewart had the ability here a couple weeks ago to always keep it straight in Sunday school, because before his predecessor was Elijah. And basically, you could say that Elisha was his understudy. And he had to keep going back. I've done that. But today, we're talking about the prophet Elisha. After Elisha had went back to heaven, the only thing that Elisha had asked for was that he might have a double portion of the Spirit of God that Elijah had. Now, most people do not realize this, and the prophecies that Elijah made, and he had many powerful prophecies. Elisha had twice as many. Miracles that the prophet Elijah did, Elisha had twice as many. And so that's something to keep in mind. And I pray a lot of times for people, they get a double portion like Elisha did. In this chapter, though, Elisha is helping the northern kingdom of Israel. They had what I would say is one of their better kings. None of the kings of the northern king of Israel, after they split, after the kingdom kingship of Solomon, they split. You had the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel. Israel had very few good kings, but at this time, they had a pretty good king, is what I would say. He did listen to the prophets of God, and he did worship God, although he did not clean up the area like he should have. Now, at that time, there was a nation called Syria that had came in and was going to conquer them, and they wanted to capture the king. And the prophet of God, Elisha, would tell the king where they were, and he would avoid them. This happened a few times, and then the king of Syria, he kind of got mad about it. He said, I believe there's somebody here in my court that is being a traitor, is basically what he said. And because he is being a traitor, somebody's fixing to suffer because of this. And his people said, none of us are traitors. There is a man of God that is telling the king of Israel where you're going to be at. The words that they said unto him, he is telling them what you say in your bedchamber. You know those times when you go into your bedroom and you shut the door and you think nobody else is there? God's there. And he was telling Elisha what was being said and done there, and he would tell the king of Israel, and he would avoid them. Well, this made him very angry, and when he heard about this prophet doing this, basically he said, find out where he is, and then you go get him and bring them to me. Now, this is where we're starting our reading lesson with verse 14. And it says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Or in other words, what are we going to do? He said, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that of the servant, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. And that's reading verses 14 through 17 of the sixth chapter of 2 Kings. If you can want to go ahead and read about this, the chariots of fire were the angels of God that came down to fight the battle. And what Elisha prayed for was that the servants of Syria might be blinded, and they were. And they were captured because of that blindness that the angels of God had put upon them. And there was other circumstance later in the chapter. You go back and read that. But we have a little bit of a different type of message today, in that we're going to use two words out of this reading lesson as a basis of a thought today. And you're going to find this a little bit unusual today, because we're going to preach on more than. That sounds different, right? More than. In that time, what we find here, that Elisha had told the prophet, they that are about us, they that fight for us, are more than those that be about us. And when he saw who was there, I believe he saw a lot more than the army that was from Syria that was about him. When those things happen, we start to think many times that we are in so much trouble about the things of the world that we start to thinking there's no way that we can win the battle of God. As many people say today, you can go over to the end of the book and you can find that where God wins the battle. Satan is fighting very heavy today upon this world. And because of that, he seems to be winning a lot of battles. We see a lot of children that are abused. We see a lot of men and women that are abused. We see a lot of people that are going off into many different troubles and trials of life. And we ourselves, we know in the will of God, We also see that many people are being led astray by the wiles of the devil and are going off to worship other things other than God. A lot of times we do not consider them to be gods, but we worship them in many ways today. People do. Today I want you to understand God is on your side. And because that he is on your side, you have an advocate today that is much greater than all the wiles of the devil that are out there today. Many times people today, and I'll say parents especially, think within themselves, how are we going to ever train up our child in the right way? The world is pulling against them. We have teachers that are among us today, and I'm satisfied that they see the children that are here in their classrooms, and they say, how in the world are they going to ever be able to survive this world? How are they going to be able to do that which is right in the eyes of God? Always know that they which fight for us are more than what the world has today. They are more than us. Now, starting out today from Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, I'm going to give you 3 verses here, and we're going to skip a little bit, if you would, for reason of time. But first of all, looking at verse 12, and if you want God to be on your side today, listen to what Moses told the children of Israel. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto your fathers. Now you might say, well, what covenant was he talking about? For the children of Israel, it was the Abraham covenant, that he was going to bless him, that he would have a seed that was greater than the stars of heaven. And we find that today in many ways today. But we also understand that that covenant was given to the children of Israel, that if they would follow the statutes that Moses had laid down for them, that they should follow those things, that they would be blessed of God. But on the other hand of that matter, if we today do not lean toward the statutes of God, and I'll say this today, we as the Christian faith that we are, it is a little bit different for us. We do not go by the Mosaic law today, but rather by the law of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. But the laws that God laid down for the children of Israel, they are still good for us today. But what he said unto them, that he would, that through this covenant and mercy which he sware unto our fathers, he has sworn unto us that he will bless us if we'll follow his ways. Now drop with me, if you would, down verse 14. And he said, thou shalt be blessed above all people, and there shall not be male or female buried among you and among your cattle. Now, speaking to the children of Israel, we think of the natural Israel that we have over in the Middle East today. And what God had promised them was that if they would follow him, that they'd always be blessed. And that's what he's saying here. But the Bible tells us in the Roman letter that we are spiritual Israel today. And we are to be not barren as a people of God. And what it means, not physically barren, but spiritually barren. What the Bible tells us to do is to be fruitful and multiply in a spiritual manner. We are to lead individuals unto the Lord. That is being fruitful in His work. But in this spiritual sense, when He said that thou shalt be blessed above all people, spiritual Israel is already blessed. But if we follow the statutes and the judgments of God, we will see the blessings start to be multiplied in our midst. Now, I want you to drop with me down to verse 17, and we'll try to tie these things together. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them? Now, in this question, the natural question comes up into our minds. I don't know if I could tell somebody about Jesus. I don't know if I could tell somebody about God. I listened to a man on the radio today, and he was talking about the salvation of his daughter. And when a man asked him about, what if she doesn't get baptized before that? He said, well, we're going to baptize her a little bit later, and we'll carry her down to the river when it warms up, and we'll baptize her then. He said, well, what about when she dies beforehand? Then she will go into hell. In other words, he believed in baptismal regeneration. In other words, he had a false belief about that, but the man said, I believe God. Now, that is a simple statement there that can be made about that. But what he says, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I. How many of us today can say within ourselves, I remember a time when somebody brought up a question like this and we thought we were inadequate to answer the question. In that moment of time, did we not lack the faith that was necessary to answer the question? Jesus told the early church, he said, think not beforehand what ye shall say, for the Spirit that is within you shall give an answer unto them. Now, I paraphrase that, but the fact of the matter is, that is what we're looking for today, is having faith in God and His Spirit to help us in that time. If we are like the children of Israel was, in that they said, they're more than us, they're bigger than us, they're smarter than us, how in the world am I going to answer their question? He said, in the 18th verse, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt. In that moment in time, they've come out of Egypt, they saw the plagues that came upon Egypt, and then they went across the Red Sea on dry ground, and then God swallowed all of Pharaoh's army, including Pharaoh himself, up in the Red Sea. They received a great deliverance, didn't they? In a spiritual sense today, you have crossed over the Red Sea into salvation. When God saved your soul, you saw a great, great blessing. You should remember how that God delivered your soul, is what he's saying to them. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. You know, if We are afraid to speak unto individuals sometimes. It is for us to remember we have the truth. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have the Spirit of God within you, and the temptations and trials that you went through before that you got saved, all of that came together to bring you out in that deliverance. God brought you through all of that trouble and sorrow, and He brought you to a place where that you was at a place where you couldn't go forward by yourself. You couldn't go backwards because the devil was there. You had a mountain on one side, a mountain of sin on one side. You had a sea of sin on the other. And what God did was He parted the waters when you trusted in Him. That's what the children of Israel did in that day, especially Moses, as he went up there and he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." When we were saved, we saw the salvation of God is what we saw. These things are for us to remember and to understand. We understand that God is going to give us more than what our enemies have. We have the Spirit of God. We have salvation. We have God's blessings upon us. And all of these things are working together to help us to serve Him better. You know, the children of Israel, when they got ready to go into the promised land, they forgot a lot about these promises. You remember when they got up there to the promised land? What did they actually do in that moment in time? You know, they got up there and they said, "Well, maybe we ought to send some spies over just to look it out, make sure it's okay." And Moses agreed to it. It ended up being a bad idea. Truthfully, it did. But when they got over there, they found a land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, when you got saved, you were filled up by the Spirit of God. You received the blessing of God's salvation. You received eternal life at that time. And that's just like the milk and honey that was promised to them, a place to live. And as God promised all of these things to us, what the Bible said, God said, "I'm going to send the hornets in among them." You'll find that in verse 20 is where you'll find that. He said, "I'm going to send the hornets in there." And He said, "I'm going to run them out a little bit at a time is what I'm going to do." He said, "Lest the beast come in." Now, the reason why the hornets are, the hornets is the Spirit of God dealing with them, dealing with us and leading them to the better land. You see, we've got more power with God than they have with Satan. Greater is our God than anything that is in this world. There's no power on this earth. Satan's on this earth, and he has great power. But he has not the power that we have today through the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to think of something today as we look at some more scriptures here for just a moment. Many of us today, we think, "Well, what about today? What are we going to do for today? I haven't got time." That's our biggest argument that we have in our lives today. "I don't have time. I've got to make money to provide for my family." That's what the Bible tells us to do, is to work that we might provide for our families. He says it's a shame for us not to labor for our family. But I want you to listen to the Sermon on the Mount, and we may take a few verses of this in the 6th chapter of Matthew, and what Jesus told them, starting with verse 25. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Hey, you're better than the birds that are out there. You're better than the fish of the sea. You're better than all the animals that are out there, the dogs, the cats, the coyotes, or whatever you want to consider that's out there. You're much better in the eyes of God. And how do they survive? Well, they survive on what they get from God. And that's what we need to remember, that God will provide for us. Back years ago, I heard a young man teaching in a lesson, and he said, I think about my father. He was a preacher also. And he said, I think about my father as he went on the mission field. And he said, truthfully, as a little boy, we didn't have much. He said, we went on the mission field, and he said, we survived for a long time. But after a while, he said, Daddy, the work was done. And he said, we came back from the mission field. And he said, things got a little better. And he said, now God's given him a church that provides for him. You know, that's the way God does for us. When we rely on him and sacrifice for him, God sends many blessings unto us that we can have so many wonderful things. Let me give you a couple of verses from the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, starting with verse 37, and he says, he that loveth father and mother more than me, is what he says. He said, and he that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now listen, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. What does that mean? Many times we use it as far as the sinners are concerned, and we say, and this is true, if you're not willing to give up father, mother, houses, land, whatever that you have, I don't care if it's a toy that you have, as long as you want to hold on to that, you'll not get saved. But if you'll take it back to us that are saved, what about us? He that is not willing to give up father and mother for my sake is not worthy of me. He didn't say he's going to take your salvation away, but what he's saying to you, you've got to be willing to give for him. Now listen to what John, the 21st chapter, and I love to use these verses here because truthfully, I think it matches me out pretty close to it. For when that the apostles had saw Jesus being crucified, you know where they were? They were not close by. We find John was there, but he wasn't saying anything. Peter had already denied him three times. I don't know where the rest of them were, but after that Jesus appeared to them there in the room that he had told them to be there, he came and he met with them there, and everybody saw him and handled him as the scripture said, and they knew who he was. Then Jesus went away for a little while. You know, many times we as God's people, we get to a place where we think God's gone away from us. You ever been there? You ever thought God left me? It wasn't God left us. We walked away from him. When the Lord went away, everybody kind of looked around and they said, what do we do now? Now, we all know Peter was somewhat the leader of the bunch. He was the one that spoke up first. He was the one that was always kind of in a lead position, I guess you would say. But as they said that question, Peter looked around and he said, I'm going fishing. Now, fishing was his old life. That's what he had done before the Lord called him off the Sea of Galilee to be a fisher of men. And he had left everything. I believe he'd sold just about everything. I believe he'd done everything he could for the Lord while he was there. But when they said, what are we going to do now? He said, I'm going fishing. I think he meant in his heart, I'm going to go back to fishing. I'm going back to my lifestyle. The Lord's gone. What, we can't handle this by ourselves. Remember, the ones on your side is more than they that are about you. They're more than any of these there. But Peter forgot. I forget sometimes. Everybody forgets sometimes. But when he got out there fishing, he was laid out there on the boat naked. And what the Bible said about him in that day was that the Lord came up on the shore and he said, have you caught anything? They said, not all night. And he said, put your net down on the right side. And as soon as they let it down, what did they get? A great drouth of fishes. And John was on the boat with him. And what did he say? It is the Lord. And Peter jumped into the water. Now, many says that he jumped to get Jesus. I believe he jumped because he was ashamed. I do. I believe he was ashamed. You go back to your old life and you forget about God, you forget about church, you forget about serving the Lord, and somebody said, it's the Lord, you start hanging your head down and you're ashamed and you're willing to hide yourself.
But the best thing you can do is to go to Jesus. Peter came to Jesus. Peter said, Lord, it's David. He still was not
in the right place because the Lord had to question him. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? What do you love more today? Now, what I think he was asking Peter about was these fish, these boats, these nets, your old life. I think that's what he was talking to him about there that day. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my lambs. Twice more the Lord asked him, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, yea, Lord. The third time he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Does the Lord know that you love him today? More than all of these things? He said, feed my sheep. You see, all of these things were done that you might be lifted up, that you might see. I pray like Elisha did that our eyes might be opened up to see that God is there with us, that he's going to help us in this time, that he's going to be with us in that time. But not only that we're going to be able to know these things, that the army of God is about us and helping us in this time that around that you're in at this time, but he wants to reward you. Now, our lesson today went to Esther, and Brother Stewart mentioned that I brought in Esther in our Bible study last week. We're studying about the Galilean wedding in our Bible study. And in that Galilean wedding, how that it matches up with the teachings that Jesus taught the church, the disciples in that time. That's what we're studying right now. I want to give you one verse. And this is what God is promising to us. It will follow him. In the book of Esther, in the second chapter, and I'm not going to get into all the story like Brother Stewart did about it. I'll just talk about that there was a a desire for a new queen for the king of Persia. And what he did was they chose out all of the beautiful women in the land. And they brought them into the palace, and they were going through them. But before they were picked, they all had to meet certain conditions. They all had to be cleaned up. They all had to be smelling great. And they all needed to be prayerful, I believe. But when the time came for the picking of the queen, there was one young lady, a Jewish girl, that found favor in the king's eyes. Now that Jewish girl, she was of the tribe of Israel. You are of the tribe of Israel spiritually today. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you are of the tribe of Israel. And what it says about her in verse 17, "And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in the sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti," and that was the former queen. You see, God wants to put a crown on your head. His son, Jesus, wants to make you his bride. And that's what this was symbolic of in this chapter. You see, God is giving you many blessings throughout your life. But the idea that I want you to understand is God is on your side. If you go back and you read this story, read that second chapter especially. When they took Esther away from her home, no doubt that young lady thought that, woe is me, I've been taken away from my family. Woe is me, I have nothing to live for. What are they going to do to me? She had no idea that if she would follow the ways of God, that she'd be put into the place of the queen. You see, today, our God is more than the God of this world. He sets things in place. He puts you in a place. Now, Brother Stewart asked a question today. If somebody asked a question in front of you and they posed a difference of opinion about the ways of God, what would you do? I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Rely on the Spirit of God, and He'll give you an answer. It may be something as simple as what that man said, "I believe God." And you might have a better argument than that man did. I kind of thought he ought to have had a better argument than what he did. But it's pretty easy to say, "I believe God rather than man," is what you need to do. Brother Sam, that's going to be our message today. We thank you for your attention today. We pray that the Lord will give you that crown. I do. I hope and pray that every one of you gets that crown today. I pray that God will bless you greatly in this service. Just remember and know this, that the Lord is on your side. He surrounded you with His own people, the ones that will win the battle. I just pray we get our eyes opened up to where we know what's around us. And I'm not talking about actually seeing angels. I'm just seeing the power that God has given to us as a church. God is around us today. Why are we singing, Brother Sam?
138.
Let us stand.
138.